With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
On weekends, very often when I need some stress relief, I watch Star Wars. It's calms me down. It makes me happy. And so I definitely am constantly leaning on my Star Wars obsession when I need a break from sports. However, that was not possible on Monday evening. And so instead I had to find a different outlet. And I felt like hitting something. It's not because I was angry about work or upset about football, but just... There were 19 full hours of work from Sunday into Monday, and I needed to sweat a little, number one, and I needed to have some physical contact with something. And so on Monday, I went to the driving range. Because the weather is relatively mild still. Now, at least in my neighborhood, we've had temps down in the 40s. In fact, right now in my neighborhood, the temps are in the 40s. Though I have not yet turned on my heat. I'm winning the war against my electric company. It's probably only a war in my mind, but it's a game I play with myself every fall. Anyway, so I know it gets colder in the evenings and at night, and it's supposed to get even colder the next few days. But for now, the golf course that I go to has this incredible driving range. It's way off the beaten path. It's out in this really pretty setting. In fact, I took a couple of pictures just because, you know, my phone was with me. And it was so nice. It was sunshine. There was just a really nice breeze. And so I went out and I got 100 golf balls and I whacked them all. It was like the best stress relief that I could have asked for on a Monday. It was wonderful. And then to top it all off. Again, it's not Star Wars, but since I was way out in the country, I saw some deer on my drive. And since I wasn't in a huge hurry, had plenty of time to get back before the baseball game started, I rolled down my windows and cranked up the Backstreet Boys, baby! That's what I needed on my Monday. I needed to whack some golf balls, and I needed to listen to the Backstreet Boys. Since, there was no way I could dive into a Star Wars movie. Anyway, that was before we had game 3 of the NLCS. And then, of course, Monday Night Football with all of its fourth quarter controversy. And it's so funny. I'm not laughing at you, fans. I'm laughing near you. How incensed you get and how you refuse to see the Lions' missed opportunities and how they cost themselves in this game. The referees missed it. They absolutely misfired, I should say. They didn't miss calls, but they misfired with these flags, and there are way too many flags in the NFL right now anyway. So I'm hoping that because of all the controversy, that the silver lining might be the league tells them to back off. Stop throwing so many flags. We don't need to over-officiate. We don't need to be looking for things. We don't need to over-analyze it. Anyway, so this leaves a bad taste, but if you go back to the immaculate, gosh, what was the nickname for that that touchdown / interception? Immaculate reception? No, because that's actually a good thing. It was immaculate what?
Well, the immaculate reception was the Steelers.
Yeah, that was way back. Right.
Which play are you talking about?
So remember the replacement refs. It was week 3. I remember that, and it was Seattle, and I do not remember who Seattle was playing, but it was the immaculate. There was a nickname for it. Anyway, it goes back to the year that there were replacement refs. So it's been nearly a decade now because I was at my previous network. But it was so bad and the controversy was so bad that the NFL came to an agreement with its real referees within days because they couldn't stand the uproar. If anything, we know that the NFL responds to PR nightmares. And I don't know that Monday Night Football is on the same wavelength as a PR nightmare. It's probably not quite that level, but maybe this will get the NFL to tell its officials to breathe.
So this play has two different names.
Okay.
It's either the Fail Mary.
Right.
Or the Inaccurate Reception.
Inaccurate Reception.
Which was the Seahawks-Packers game.
Seahawks-Packers. Okay, got it. Yeah, the Fail Mary is the one that I should have remembered as well. I mean, it was two players who came down, one offensive, one defensive. They both had possession of the football. And while I don't know that the real refs would have done any better job, the fact is that the replacement refs were still out there on the field. And within days, the NFL had settled its grievances. And the real referees came back to work. And so maybe, like the missed PI call in New Orleans in the NFC Championship game, the fourth quarter in January, forcing the NFL to take action. Now, I don't like the action that they took, but I definitely believe that it spurred the action of the NFL, all of the uproar. Well, maybe that'll be the case here, because you've got current players, you've got former players, you've got Hall of Famers screaming about how the quantity of flags is marring the product. And I would agree with that. Now, I don't agree with that it's unwatchable. I still love the NFL. I like how Dan Orlovsky, who's a former Lions quarterback, put it when he was watching the game. And, you know, he live tweets a lot of games, not just the Lions, but because he spent most of his career with the Lions, I appreciate that he tweeted, "I choose my words wisely and I love the NFL. But enough is enough is enough is enough." And he included the Twitter account for the NFL officials, which I did too. When I tweeted after the game, I included that handle as well, because I want the NFL to see it. I want the officials to see it, and I want them to be told to tap the brakes. We saw it at the beginning of last season. Do you remember when there was this focus on roughing the passer calls? And we saw so many of them in the preseason. And then early in the regular season, until the league finally sent this directive. Now, Roger Goodell would tell you, he would lie to your face and tell you that they did not direct the officials to stop calling so many roughing the passer penalties, except that they definitely died down. We didn't see nearly as many through the rest of the year. So don't believe it when Roger Goodell tells you that there was no directive, or maybe he doesn't know about it conveniently. He had plausible deniability. Anyway, that may be the case here. It may be that the NFL says, okay, that we don't want this controversy to be marring what is a good start to the season. You know, the ratings are up. We don't want this to ruin the product for the fans. And so we're going to tell the officials, take a breath. You don't need to throw a flag on every single play. And I think there's so much pressure on officials that they want to make sure they get it right, but they're over-officiating the games. So they're watching everything. They want to make sure they don't miss anything, but they're over-officiating now. And so the game needs room to breathe. We don't need to see a flag on every single play. Do you guys remember the end of, it was just this week. Gosh, there's so many games that blend together. Cowboys-Jets. It was the drive that and I know both Chris and Dave, you guys can help me out here. It was the drive that the Cowboys had there in the fourth quarter that ended with the Dak Prescott was a 4-yard touchdown run. Then, of course, the failed 2-point conversion where he got rocked by Jamal Adams. But on that drive, if I'm not mistaken, in the red zone, there were 5 consecutive snaps in which there were flags. And so every single time, they snap the ball, here they are in these critical moments at the end of a game in which they're trying to come back and to tie, you know, to maybe force overtime, whatever, whatever. The flags, it just causes you to stop and restart and stop and reset. And it takes away from not just our enjoyment, but their enjoyment of playing, because they're constantly second guessing. And also it takes away from the rhythm and the flow of the game. So did I get that right? There were 5 consecutive snaps with penalty flags.
Yeah. And they were all worse than the previous call. Those were terrible.
They weren't all on the Jets, though, right? Weren't there a couple on the Cowboys?
No,
or were they all on the
there,
Jets?
They moved backwards. It turned into like 3rd and 27 before the phantom Jamal Adams pass interference call. That was atrocious.
Yeah, the pass interference has gotten way out of hand. Again, I think there's so much pressure on officials that they're trying to look for everything. They were encouraged to to emphasize holding. And so there have been a plethora of holding calls to start the season. And I just am I'm hoping that now the league will take this to heart. Again, what does the league respond to? The league responds to uproars. It responds to PR disasters. It responds to criticism. It responds to trending on Twitter for all the wrong reasons. So we'll see whether or not the league now tells its officials to, you know, just you don't need to call everything. Holding is actually part of the game. Holding occurs on every single snap. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. You can reach us inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. So we'll take more of your calls. Again, 855-212-4227. You can also find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you write to me and tell me you're the only person in America who doesn't believe that the refs cost the Lions the game, I will say hallelujah. I like being the only person in America. I don't, that's not a good argument for why I should change my opinion. it was a good game, and it was a back and forth game, and it's what you want from two teams who are in the same division. I liked the twists and turns, but it definitely did leave a bad taste to see those two calls against Trey Flowers when clearly his technique is perfected. He's got the exact right spot on the shoulder pad, the inside there, kind of to be able to get the leverage he needs on the line. And it's unfortunate, but it's not why the Lions lost. All right, so you can find me on Twitter or Facebook. If you haven't yet voted for Monday MVP, well, then you should do that. We'll get your Touchdown Tuesday candidates up as well. And I know I teased LeBron before the top of the hour and then was talking about the officiating with the NFL, but I'll get to that coming up next because LeBron created quite a stir himself when he, I think it was before a preseason game on Monday, talked about Daryl Morey tweeting when he was in the Far East, and then getting China all upset so that it created a really uncomfortable situation for the four NBA teams that were overseas, but specifically the Lakers and Nets who were in China at the time. So LeBron weighs in, and I think if you don't listen to the audio, you might be quick to jump on LeBron. Let's listen to the audio and maybe try to understand what he's saying. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
LeBron guarded by Randle, around a pick from Rondo. LeBron dribbles right by Julius, got to the rim, puts it up, foul, and a bucket. LeBron James right in front of Patrick Mahomes. Puts it up, in, and then muscles to the NFL MVP.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, that was jarring to my system. A little NBA play-by-play. Is that Sean Ireland on the Lakers radio network? Yeah, kind of crazy to think about. I believe it's the last week in October that the NBA tips off. I know they're doing preseason games right now, so they're a few weeks behind the NHL. But as I've told you repeatedly, over and over, October is the only month of the year which all four professional sports leagues, team sports leagues, are in full season, or, you know, are in full swing. In the case of baseball, obviously, it's the postseason. And so basketball will be here soon. It's kind of interesting to think about all the different changes. And I mean, the basketball portion of my brain is not really turned on yet, but I just was looking at my college basketball schedule. I do play-by-play for the Columbia women and realized our first game is 3 weeks away. Holy crap. Like, holy cow. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So LeBron James weighed in before a preseason game with the Lakers about Daryl Morey's comments via Twitter when he was in the Far East. So really quickly, if you don't know the situation, or you don't know what transpired over the last few weeks, to the best of our knowledge, and we have looked this up, I've looked it up, I've talked to other people in the business, it appears as though Daryl Morey was in Japan, not in China at the time that he tweeted. OK, Okay, so he wasn't in China, we don't think. He was with the Houston Rockets more than likely, and it was they were in Japan playing. It was the Lakers and Nets who were in China. But Maury essentially tweets support for the protesters in Hong Kong, which angers the Chinese government. So then the Chinese government proceeds to spend the next couple of weeks, well, maybe a week or so, making life miserable for the two NBA teams and the league itself who are in China for a bunch of charitable stops. So they were visiting schools, they were donating computers, they were doing all this stuff as part of the NBA Cares. So a bunch of charitable visits and projects in addition to playing a couple of preseason games. Now, when they would show up then to do these various events, if the Chinese government hadn't canceled them, well, there would be protesters there as well, which also angered the Chinese government. The government then wanted Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, to denounce what Daryl Morey had said. But all that Adam Silver would say publicly is that, hey, you know, we understand why this is frustrating. We understand, but I'm not going to tell an employee of one of our teams that he can't exercise his right to free speech. So, okay, we get why you're frustrated and why this bothers you, but I'm not telling NBA employees what they can and can't say on their social media. This was Daryl Morey's personal account. So Adam Silver refused to then criticize and condemn Daryl Morey, which made the Chinese government even angrier. Now, I had said this last week, I wondered about the teams themselves, whether or not they felt like they were in danger, whether or not they felt secure or they were nervous about being in what was a supercharged atmosphere. There are times when the Chinese government has in the past come down very hard on its own citizens to the point of jailing them or worse for speaking out against the government, similar to the atmosphere that I've encountered in Cuba and that, you know, in my travels in Cuba, I've heard so many stories about what happens when you dare speak out about the government. And so I wondered whether or not these teams were nervous. Again, it was the Lakers and the Nets. So now that LeBron James is back, he was speaking on Monday with his perspective after his time in China regarding everything that surrounded the Daryl Morey tweet.
We all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech. But at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen. When you're not thinking about others, and you're only thinking about yourself. So I don't believe, I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand, and he spoke. And so many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and we say and what we do. Even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that, too.
So the headline was that Daryl Morey wasn't educated. So maybe you saw the clickbait. Some of you may have seen what was out there on social media or saw the link to the video of LeBron speaking. And if you didn't listen to the 45 seconds of what LeBron had to say and all you saw was, you know, LeBron calls Daryl Morey uneducated, well, then of course you're inclined to jump in with your own opinion. LeBron did later clarify with a couple of tweets, and I'll read those in a second, but I didn't even need to see the tweets once I heard what he had to say. So initially when I saw the quote, uneducated, I thought, well, that's rude. How dare he? Just because he doesn't agree with what Daryl Morey did? But then when I took the time to listen to the audio, I realized that's not what he was saying. He wasn't saying that Morey is uneducated in terms of the politics or in terms of the situation with Hong Kong and the Chinese and the protesters. His point was, uneducated, I still don't agree with that word, but that's the word that he used. His point was, yes, you have freedom of speech, but there are always consequences. And I have said that 1.5 million times on my radio show, if I've said it once. Yes, you have freedom of speech, but that doesn't mean you're free from consequences. Freedom of speech does not equal freedom of consequences. And in Daryl Morey's case, maybe he did think through the potential consequences and the backlash. Maybe he didn't. I don't know that he did. I don't know that he didn't. I think it's probably safe to say that very few people in his position would have anticipated there being such a backlash and such a reaction from a government of a nation over a tweet. But it wasn't just his tweet. It was also Adam Silver stepping up and saying, I'm not going to denounce it. I'm not going to tell him that he can't express his opinion on his own personal Twitter account. So the NBA choosing not to discipline or decry or denounce what Daryl Morey said also added to the anger of the Chinese government. So that's what LeBron is saying. Again, I don't think that I agree with the term uneducated, but sometimes I use words that probably aren't perfectly fitting for the situation either and can send the wrong message. His point was Morey didn't consider what might happen in the wake of this tweet. So here's what he tweeted, LeBron, meaning after the fact. Let me clear up the confusion. I do not believe there was any consideration for the consequences and ramifications of the tweet. I'm not discussing the substance. Others can talk about that. My team in this league just went through a difficult week. I think people need to understand what a tweet or statement can do to others. And I believe nobody stopped and considered what would happen. Could have waited a week to send it. All right, so LeBron's making a very valid point. And who's more qualified than a member of the Lakers or the Nets to make this point? His point is, we were the ones who had to deal with the fallout. Not Daryl Morey, because he wasn't in China. Again, to the best of our knowledge, to the best that we can tell, he was not in the country when he posted that tweet. Maybe he was watching it on TV. Maybe he was watching the news. Maybe he was reading about it. Lots of people tweet in reaction to stuff they see on the news. But in the case of Morey, his ties to the Rockets and the NBA, and his proximity to the Chinese at that point, and the fact that there were, in fact, two NBA teams and their staffs in China at the time, exacerbated the situation. That's what LeBron is saying. He's not calling Daryl Morey uneducated or uninformed about the political situation. But honestly, isn't that so much like the internet? And LeBron would know this better than anyone. I mean, LeBron's impact and footprint on social media is enormous. It's massive. It's hard in retrospect, in, you know, hindsight being 2020, sure, then you can say, oh, yeah, that was going to go viral. But a lot of times you post something, maybe you think it's a little benign and it gets some incredible reaction. I mean, yeah, but Twitter, social media, the internet, it has the kind of power that once it's unleashed, you can't take it back. It doesn't disappear. Once it's out there on the internet, you can delete it, but it never disappears. And the effects can be so far-reaching that you're blown away. So I do appreciate that from LeBron again. And I agree with him wholeheartedly on this point. Freedom of speech is not freedom from consequences. We have that freedom, and it's valuable and it's precious, and we shouldn't take it for granted. Not every country affords its citizens the freedom of speech, the freedom of expression, but it does not mean that you operate in a vacuum and there are no consequences. 855-212-4227. We'll get to your calls coming up. Also, you can find me on Twitter, ALaw Radio, as well as on our Facebook page. Your last few seconds here, minutes, to vote for Monday MVP. We'll reveal your choice and we'll put up our Touchdown Tuesday poll here pretty quick.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
His heroics made us swoon this weekend.
I'm the best ever.
I am the greatest.
Now it's time to name the After Hours Monday MVP.
I need a hero. First pitch. And Correa lines it deep to right field. Judge is going back at the wall. Looking out. See you later.
game of the series and a game apiece on the walk-off home run by Carlos Correa in the bottom of the 11th. 3-2, Astros win it.
A mob scene at home plate for Correa as he stomps on home plate for an exclamation point.
It's a great game. This is a beautiful game, the game of baseball. Two teams, two of the best teams out there competing to win ball games. I mean, it doesn't get any better. So, pretty special to compete. JB did a great job. Our bullpen was nasty. Gave us a chance to win the game.
That is the voice of one Carlos Correa. His post-game comments on FS1 in the immediate aftermath of a nearly five-hour game ended by his walk-off dinger in the bottom of the 11th. The call, the amazing call with Robert Ford, Steve Sparks, and the train at Minute Maid Park. The player of the week brought to you by Grainger. So let's take a look at not just the offense, but the defense for the one who got it done. Carlos Correa also had a defensive gem 2 hours before he hit the walk-off home run. The Yankees were threatening. They had a runner in scoring position, and it was a hard ground ball hit by Brett Gardner off the chest of Jose Altuve. So the ground ball essentially ate up Altuve. And it bounces away. Correa reacts in the moment, instantaneously, all instinct, runs across behind second base, grabs the ball that's bounding away from Altuve, and instantly throws it home to get LeMahieu. Had to be a perfect throw as well. Guns down LeMahieu. That sounded politically incorrect, throws out LeMahieu at home plate, allowing the Astros to get out of the inning with the game still tied. And then 2 hours later, it's the offense. So defense and offense makes him the Monday MVP and your player of the week. Brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. 855-212-4227. That's how you can reach us. It's our toll-free line here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. We've got a doubleheader in the baseball playoffs on Tuesday. So baseball will be keeping me company while I write my weekly column. Let's talk to Red, who's in Georgia. Welcome to After Hours.
Good evening, Amy. Hey, thanks for taking my call, Amy.
Sure.
Amy, I think you're spot on with this LeBron thing, man. And I think moving forward, the NBA going to have to choose where they go from here as far as the players and the ownership as far as addressing social issues with a country like China, because you're not laid in the bed with them now, you know, a communist country that's not going to allow you to just speak out on them like that, because it really – it affects other people's lives other than ours, because there are people in a communist country. We are not. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so it affects a lot of people's lives, and I think the ramification of a statement sometimes, LeBron's spot on with this one. I don't think he's right for saying that Daryl Morey miseducated or misinformed, because you got to realize Daryl Morey, to speak out like this, he is very well educated, even to stick his neck out there to speak out, because the NBA got the stuff. They done laid down with the devil, and they running with it with the money. So that's where they at now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think from the NBA's perspective, I mean, I understand your point. If you're going to do business with China, then you have to be prepared for something like this to happen, because they control the dissemination of information as much as possible. However, it's not the Chinese government so much that the NBA is in partnership with. It's trying to do this as a charitable outreach, and a lot of schools that they want to work with as part of the NBA Cares. They, you know, the community projects, things like that. And certainly they have to have the permission of the government to be there. But I'm quite confident that Daryl Morey didn't consider any of that when he put his little old tweet on the information superhighway. And I certainly understand something blowing up in your face where you never expected it to get the reaction that it did. This is something I've had to learn though, Red. I always read a tweet or a Facebook post and think, do I want the entire world seeing this? Like, even if I delete it, which a lot of times I go back and I delete tweets from conversations with people just because I just don't think they're necessary to be out there. But I also get nervous sometimes when I think a tweet, like maybe 2 years down the road, could be taken out of context and used against me. And so I'm pretty careful about what I put out there. And you would think Daryl Morey would recognize that. Hey, don't put anything on the internet that you're not comfortable with the entire world reading. So maybe that's a good rule of thumb.
Hey, man, I think the NBA and all major sports need to get it. I think, man, you can start a business aiming to show players how to address social issues and stay away from how to address social media more than social issues itself. I mean, there's some good money in that, Amy. Man, you can start something right on up.
Well, I don't even need to get paid for it. I do a lot of mentoring programs through my union, as well as just colleges and high schools, and try to work with people and talk to people, give advice to people who want to get into this business. And one of the number one things they always ask about is, how do I handle social media? And I'm really honest with them about the ramifications and how it can be brutal and how it's part of the business, though. There's a love-hate relationship that I have with social media. But also, I do try to caution them and remind them that nothing you ever put on the internet ever goes away. So you need to be fully prepared for the entire world to read it or see it. Now, it may never come to that, but it may come to that. You never know when somebody's going to get picked up and go viral. So yeah, I'm constantly trying to educate people on the potential consequences, though I think people in the moment don't often think about it unless they've been burned. So once you've been burned and you've been burned badly, well, then you never forget. But hopefully people don't have to learn that way.
I'll tell you what, Amy, it's always great to talk with you. You're the queen of sports talk radio, and it's always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Have a great day. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Generally, LeBron is really political, and so he didn't want to wade into the political arena on this, but I'll just be honest, there's a lot of things that LeBron puts on social media that I don't agree with. However, for him to point out that they were in the middle of a firestorm in China, and that this was a situation that was created by a tweet that he had no control over, that the Nets had no control over, that the Lakers had no control over. I at least can identify with that part. Feeling like you are in another country. Now, he's extremely high profile, and the Chinese government definitely doesn't want to tangle with that type of PR nightmare. But you're in another country, and you, at least to some extent, have to obey their rules, their laws. We see journalists often who get thrown in jail or who get detained because they're not, even travelers too, because they're not following the laws or they kind of run amok of the expectations in another country. And so when you're off U.S. soil, things are different. I'm really careful about what I say about where I go in Cuba. I never share the name of the town or the village. I don't share the names of the people, at least not full names, of the people that we visit, that we work with, the youth, the church that we partner with, because I don't want them to get in trouble. I don't want to ever create a situation, because I get to leave. I get to come home and come back to the U.S., but they don't. And I never want to create a situation where they are then feeling the thumb or the pressure of a government that they can't get out from under. And so I do encourage people, whenever people ask me, I always encourage people to go and experience other cultures. And if you can, do it in a third world country. Do it in a place that is not as privileged as we are, because we are so blessed and privileged here in the United States of America. You'll never look at the U.S. the same if you travel to even the places that I've been, Ecuador, way up in the Andes Mountains, where, you know, their little villages are built into the side of a mountain, and they live in shacks. I'll never forget my time in Mozambique, which is the eighth poorest country in the world, in Eastern Africa, on the Indian Ocean, camping in the bush and working with 400 children out there. They don't have electricity. You just never forget that. I never complain about public restrooms anymore, because I've been in places where there aren't restrooms. And then Cuba, a new experience for me in a communist country, and having spent now more than a month's time in Cuba and really understanding how these Cubans that I love so much, how they live and how they have to operate and how they constantly have to be aware of what they say and how they say it. And it's just, it's a different world. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have to agree with everything that LeBron says. I don't like the use of the word uneducated. I think that kind of sends a condescending message. I mean, it's a term that, I feel like that does definitely kind of change the tone of what he said. But I agree with him that freedom of speech is not freedom from consequences. And he and the Lakers and the Nets were the ones that were kind of right in the middle of that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We had a trivia question / nerd alert that we put out there for you way back in the first hour. For those of you who weren't tuned in, we now have an 0-3 deficit for the St. Louis Cardinals. If, it's a big if, but nothing's impossible, if they were able to rally from this 0-3 deficit and win a 7-game series against the Nationals, it would be devastating for DC. But it's also highly unlikely because only 5 other teams in sports history have ever rallied from an 0-3 deficit to win a 7-game series. It's never happened in the NBA. The closest the NBA has come is 3-1. And we know that the Cavaliers rallied from their deficit against the Golden State Warriors to win a game 7 a few years ago in the championship round, which was definitely history. It's only happened once in Major League Baseball. The 2004 Boston Red Sox down 0-3 in the ALCS to the Yankees, coming all the way back to win that series and then, of course, go on and win the World Series against the St. Louis Cardinals? No. Who were they playing in the World Series? Was it the Cardinals? Why can I remember? They played the Rockies at one point as well. Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah, it was.
Thank God. Always go with your first answer. Whew. I almost lost my sports radio host card. It's happened 4 times in the NHL. So again, never in the NBA, only once in baseball, 4 times in the NHL. And here are the dates. Iconic moments for those of you who are hockey fans. We'll start with the most recent. 2014, the Kings came back to beat the Sharks in a first-round series. Even though the Sharks humiliated them at the beginning of the series, they won 6-3 and 7-2 before winning in overtime in Game 3. But the Kings, the rest of the way, 4 consecutive wins, easy peasy. So 2014, Kings passed the Sharks. 2010, the Flyers against the Bruins in a quarterfinal series. 3-0. The Bruins had that lead, but they lost in Game 7, 3-0. And so the Flyers came back in 2010. 1975, the Islanders beat the Penguins after trailing 0-3 in a quarterfinal series. And then way back in 1942, the Stanley Cup Final, Toronto rallied past Detroit after trailing in that series 0-3. That's history, peeps. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.